listening to Breakfast here on Radio Adelaide. You're Zoe Canatis and Tom Mann.
Today is the 26th of August, and joining us this morning in the studio to tell us something about this day in history is our breakfast producer, Leon Bishop. Good morning, Leon.
Morning, guys. Great to be here.
So what have you learnt about today?
Did you know that today marks 83 years since construction began on the real Treasure Island? It was San Francisco's first human-constructed artificial island.
Now, Leon, I didn't even know there was a real Treasure Island, but happy anniversary. I can imagine it was quite expensive to build something called Treasure Island. Why was it initially built?
Well, you are 83 years late, but it was built to exhibit the newly built Golden Gate and Oakland Bay bridges, which were at the time the city's most ambitious and by far largest projects. And so the island was dubbed, of course, Treasure Island, after the 1883 Robert Louis Stevenson novel, which would then be the location for the 1939 Golden Gate International Exposition.
So what inspired the creators to name it after this book?
Well, it's a good book, and rather than having a shipping hazard and an eyesore next to the internationally recognised mega bridge, the US government wanted, or rather needed it to be the most beautiful site it could be. So construction began with the deposition of 260,000 tons of quarried rock, followed by an innumerable amount of sand and topsoil for finalising the 1.6 kilometre squared artificial island. So that's 4,000 trees, 70,000 shrubs and 700 flowering plants, which were then planted to give the lush appearance, which was reminiscent of the beautiful utopia described in the Treasure Island novel.
So obviously it had this use when they were constructed it, but what has it become today?
Well, interestingly, it actually took half a century for the residential opportunities of the island to be used, because this was a coinciding event with the start of the Second World War. And so as soon as the fair, that World Exhibition, ended, the Navy began occupying the island and using it as a space for preparing soldiers for deployment. And the island then actually remained a naval base all the way until the 90s. And still functions as an air facility and landing strip for commercial flights. Although, yes, at the moment, works are currently underway to construct thousands of homes for the San Franciscan elite.
How interesting. The rich really get it all. And do you have another story for us?
Yeah, today is the 50th anniversary, which is a pretty big number, and I think we'll be hearing a lot about this today, of the opening of the Isle of Wight Festival. So lasting only 5 days, this festival was the largest musical event of its time, with 600,000 to 700,000 people attending. And this actually made it larger than Woodstock, although, of course, this did not come without its issues.
I can only imagine, but what were some of the issues?
Well, it coincided with the yearly summer holidaying that would occur on the English island. And so this made it even harder for the transport systems of the island, which only took a population of about 100,000, to take 5 times its usual capacity. Then strong winds began blowing, which led to the sound system being compromised. Although that was actually solved by the use of augmenting the Who's PA.
And was it financially successful at least?
I'm afraid to say it wasn't. Not even that, which happened allegedly due to political and logistical difficulties. So it ended up being free, despite countless audience members purchasing tickets in advance.
So I'm sure many of the bands, at the very least in retrospect, were okay with what happened. So who actually appeared at this iconic festival?
Oh, well, it was all sorts. This came at a very incredibly historic time for music. It was a few months just after the Beatles officially broke up, and only weeks before the deaths of both Jimi Hendrix, who played at the festival, and Janis Joplin. The others on the lineup included, in chronological order, Kris Kristofferson, who didn't have a good time, Supertramp, they just released their first debut album, Joni Mitchell, also didn't have a good time. I don't think country artists did very well there. Miles Davis, I'm interested to see where that went. Emerson, Lake and Palmer, The Doors, Sly and the Family Stone, and Leonard Cohen.
Very interesting. There's a really good documentary on YouTube of Joni Mitchell at a music festival, and she's not having a good time and she has a go at the crowd. But anyway, that's for a later date to Google on your own. So obviously a huge range of artists. Do you have a song to play for us?
I'm going to throw a curveball at you guys. I'm not going to play a song from any of those artists because it's the 37th anniversary of an amazing film called Merry Christmas, Mr. Lawrence. And so I'd like to play the title track from that soundtrack. It's composed and played by the great Ryuichi Sakamoto of Yellow Magic Orchestra, who stars in the film alongside David Bowie. So if you haven't seen the film, I highly implore you to. If you're a fan of history, Japanese cinema, or David Bowie in a very interesting circumstance with another great 80s pop star, I think you'll love it. So I hope this song can grant you a bit of an enlightening moment on this Wednesday morning. It's a beautiful song.